Today, we're answering the question you've all been asking. Is Chappelle Roan Illuminae confirmed? We're going to break down the latest controversy about her in the tabloids and how she's disrespected a very famous child. We'll talk about Chappelle's suspicious background, her wealthy family connections, and her full musical history with a symbolic breakdown of all her music videos, which includes butterflies, bathtubs, and inverted crosses. We're going to go deeper into her connections with Jeffrey Epstein, with the Interlochen Talent Camp, where she attended, and Epstein owned a private suite. We're going to talk about Chappelle Roan's talent agency ran by Casey Wasserman, who was friends with Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. And we're going to talk about darker conspiracies about what might really be going on in Lake Michigan. Today, we're going to answer the questions about her mysterious past and if something much stranger could be happening with Chappelle Roan. You're listening to Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weishaupt. I've been researching the occult and pop culture and the intersections of symbolism and the metaphysics consciousness connecting all of us together since 2011. Now, if you're listening to this, as you know, I started a YouTube channel, and I'm going to give you the visuals treatment on the YouTube channel. So if you want to watch the YouTube version, you want to watch the video version of this show, you got two options. One, go on the supporter feeds, patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher. Go to tier two. You sign up for the video version of the show. You have early access, bonus content, ad-free, and that's the video version of the show, all right? If you're on that free feed loser status, you can go to my YouTube. It's free. You're going to get it a day late. You're going to get ads, but you're going to get it still. So go check out my YouTube at Occult Symbolism. Be sure to subscribe. If you're watching it right now as I'm telling you this and you're like, duh, hit the subscribe button, please. Give me the hype points, please. Hit the bell with all notifications so you see when I'm going live or when I'm doing chats or whatever. You know, I'm still learning YouTube. I've been on there. This is my third attempt. And if they kick me off again, then I'm done. I'm never doing it again. So make my fantasies come true. Get me to 100,000 subscribers by the end of the year, and I'll shut up always, okay? And I'm going to put images of Chappelle Roan and her music video symbolism, which is why I'm telling you you should watch the video version of this. But if not, you know, I've been podcasting this whole time since 2014, so nothing's changing there. You can just keep on listening. Now, let's start with, who is Chappelle Roan? You probably know her, an international pop singer. You recognize her from such hit as Pink Pony Club, right? And we're going to go through her music catalog here in a bit. But I want to take a heavy amount of time discussing this controversy and why I'm even talking about Chappelle Roan in the first place, because this hit my radar and one thing led to another. And the next thing I know, I'm deep down the rabbit hole. All right. Let's talk about this controversy. Why is she in the news right now? Why is she in the tabloids? Why are we talking about her? She was trending recently because on March 21st, it was claimed that Chappelle Roan was in a hotel in Brazil having breakfast. She was in Brazil because she's headlining the Lollapalooza Brazil concert, whatever. An 11-year-old girl walks by Chappelle Roan's table, stops and smiles at her because she's a fan, right? She was there with her mom to see the concert, apparently. She smiles, does some kind of interaction with Chappelle, walks away to her table. Chappelle Roan allegedly sends her security guard over to the girl and her mother at their table, and the bodyguard proceeds to chew them out for being disrespectful of Chappelle Roan's personal space and threatens them that he's going to file a complaint with the hotel and all kinds of stuff, all right? Now, and I should make mention, I'm recording this on March 26th. I've got a hectic schedule the next 2 months, so I'm trying to get ahead on shows. So I'm always going to give you the dates so you know, because by the time you listen to this, you might be like, wait a minute, this has already been cleared up or whatever, right? I'm telling you, as of March 26th, this is the news. Now, the only issue with this whole situation, this wasn't just any 11-year-old girl. This girl's parents are Jude Law and Catherine Harding, all right? Jude Law, the actor, that's right. And the girl's name is Ada Law, which, by the way, completely unrelated, but I'm researching for a deep dive into the Lolita movie and novel. And the author of Lolita, Vladimir Nabokov, also wrote a novel, and his longest novel was Ada. Is it related? Did Jude Law name their daughter after this? I don't know that. I have no idea. Which is why you're going to want to stay subscribed to my show, folks, because I'm going to do a Lolita show here soon. And because in the book, Dolores, the young girl, she gets taken to Camp Q by this guy, Quilty. Then later she gets taken to Duck Duck Ranch. And both of these locations turn out is where they're grooming kids for Hollywood stuff and filming them doing things. And we're going to deep dive into that and how it's connected to Epstein, Zorro Ranch, Kubrick's Lolita. Was Kubrick exposing? I'm going to tell you all about it. I'm still working on it, though. So for now, let's stick with Chappelle Road. All right. Jude Law, no longer with Catherine Harding, right? Side note, Jude Law has 7 different kids to 4 BMs. All right. That's a lot of kids. I always make fun of Elon Musk, you know. Same thing with Jude Law. Dude couldn't pull out of a garage, apparently. So Catherine is no longer with Jude Law. Instead, she's married to another famous person, a Brazilian soccer player named Jorginho. Hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. So this 11-year-old girl, her stepfather is a famous soccer player. Her biological father is one of the world's most famous actors. And Chappelle Roan's bodyguard allegedly went over to harass this girl. So Catherine Harding, who's got a following because she's married to these famous dudes, and she was an actress from what I can gather. Not anything huge, though. She goes home. She tells Jorginho, her husband, the soccer player, and he proceeds to go on his social media account, which has about 5 million followers on just Instagram alone, to relay this story about how awful of a person Chappelle Roan truly is. Chappelle Roan immediately denies it. And all this nonsense is reported on by the news, which probably tells you that this is all nonsense, propaganda, Roman bread and circus. But, you know, let's just keep going, all right? I'm going to read to you from the New York Times. I didn't even see a woman and a child, Miss Roan says in the video, filmed from her bed, you know, no makeup, just raw, you know, Chappelle Roan. No one came up to me. No one bothered me. I was just sitting at breakfast and in my hotel. I do not hate people who are fans of my music. I do not hate children. That is crazy. I'm sorry to the mother and child that someone was assuming something, that you would do something. And if you felt uncomfortable, that makes me really sad. You did not deserve that. Later, Chappelle emphasized she has a zero tolerance towards such behavior towards her fans. She would also later say that the man who scolded Catherine and her 11-year-old daughter wasn't even her security. Well, fast forward a couple days to this morning, actually. On March 26th, the bodyguard comes out, claims full responsibility for the incident, confirms he is, in fact, Chappelle Roan's bodyguard. But he comes out to say, you know what, Chappelle Roan had nothing to do with this, and he falls on the sword for Chappelle. I'm sure there's a reason for that, a monetary reason for that. And so we went from it being not her bodyguard at all, she has no idea what's going on, to it was her bodyguard, to it was her bodyguard, but she didn't tell him to do that. Okay. But yeah, Catherine Harding, she responds with a 6-minute Instagram video explaining what really happened and doubles down that Chappelle did in fact make that interaction occur. The hotel where this happened in Brazil, Tangara Palace, which looks super bougie, by the way, obviously, right? Chappelle Roan staying there, these famous Nepo babies and their famous soccer player parents are hanging out there. Well, where this happened, they spoke out. They confirmed that the security was not theirs. That's as far as they would take it. They're like, we're not getting involved with this, but we're here to tell you this was not our security guard. So for sure, Chappelle Roan's bodyguard. Then, so now everyone's debating this on the socials, and a clip resurfaces from earlier this year in Australia of Chappelle Roan walking down the street or airport or whatever she is. And she realizes someone's filming her. She tells her meathead security guard, points at the person filming her, and the security guard goes to shut it down. So much for the zero tolerance policy, right? And look, I don't know much about Chappelle Roan, but what I've seen on award shows in passing here and there, which, by the way, I watch those for you guys. I don't like celebrity award shows, but I do it to look if there's any symbolism or something. Sometimes crazy stuff happens, like the big the Will Smith, Chris Rock slap. That was insane. That was like one of the biggest events I'd ever seen. I was like, whoa, that's crazy. And we talked about that. That was all a ritual too, right? Because what did Chris Rock then immediately do? His tour for the Ego Death Tour. All right. And we're going to talk a little bit about Chappelle Roan and her death and rebirth stuff. But anyway, Chappelle Roan, from what I, again, not a big fan. I don't really know her music. I know the Pink Pony Club song, and that's it at this point. But I do know her from seeing her on all these stages and award shows. She has this general state of being unimpressed by everything, right? In fact, we were watching the Grammys or something like that a few weeks ago, and I actually mentioned it out loud to my wife, Josie. I'm like, this girl seems like a bitch, right? And she had just won the Grammys Best New Artist. And while she was up on the stage, she was advocating for healthcare and living wages for the artists. So she kind of has that, you know, kind of liberal leaning. She's been considered one of the main allies for the LGBTQ crowd. So borderline political in the way you would probably expect. But to throw her a bone, right? Not that I have a problem with that, right? Like, I socially lean liberal too. But she's not like, because you'll find a lot of celebrities and Hollywood types, like, they're full on, like, they're too woke for me, right? Like, I'm not that much. I'm, like, moderately, right? I'll give you an example of what I'm trying to say. There was a situation where the Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, when they were running for president, there was during the campaign, they were selling a baseball hat. They used the likeness of a Chappelle Roan font, apparently. And they asked Chappelle Roan about it, but she refused to endorse the Harris campaign. She was like, I guess she was fine with the hat thing, but she was like, I'm not endorsing them. Which I was like, all right, bet. Because that's my stance. Like, I don't trust none of these politicians, right? On the left or the right. And she said this. She said, and I'll clean it up for the listeners. F Trump for effing real. But F some of the S that has gone down in the Democratic Party that has failed people like me and you, and more so Palestine, and more so every marginalized community in the world. And I'm like, that's some mic drop talk right there. I agree 100,000,000% on that. That's what makes me mad. I get more mad at the Democrats than anything, because I'm like, you guys are the ones that are supposed to be standing up doing the right things, and you're doing the same exact wrong things that everyone else is doing. Case in point, kneecapping Bernie Sanders not once, but twice in the primaries. Twice. They literally coordinated an agenda to make sure he wasn't the guy. All right. So thus, and by the way, like, Bernie and AOC, they're the only ones that are pushing. I just read in the news they were pushing legislation to slow down the unleashing of the AI data centers that our technocrat dark enlightenment people are trying to subject all of us to. I live in Utah, where there's massive droughts, and our spineless governor is out here rolling out AI data centers and watering his alfalfa farm, which takes 80% of our water. And then they're proceeding to say, but people with residential lawns, you're not going to be able to water them. Your grass has to die. And it's like, how about you just let those alfalfa farms die, first off? And second off, quit building nuclear power plants and AI data centers that take even more water that we don't have. You know what I mean? Anyway, don't get me going on the water situation and AI nerds and all this data center stuff that nobody wants, by the way. Not a single person, except for these technocrats that are trying to put us in the digital matrix. Make us slaves to their supposed AI gods. But I got some news for them. It ain't going to happen. Not on my watch. So thus, back to Chappelle Roan. I don't actually hate Chappelle Roan. All right. Ironically, after doing this analysis, I'm like, I don't hate this girl as much as I thought I did. That's not to defend her. It's complicated. We'll hit it in the conclusion, right? But Chappelle Roan, what she says makes me think that maybe she's more of a thinker than most, is what I'm trying to say. All right. Supposedly she's had a history of, like, obsessive fans stalking her and stuff. So I kind of get it, sort of. You're like, hey, keep the paparazzis away from me. But there's videos of her being, like, over the top with it. And I'm like, look, these are publicity stunts. I think these celebrities, they call the paparazzis and say, hey, I'm getting out of this car at this restaurant at this time, to make a big stink, right? And she's trying to be the victim. Like, oh my gosh, I hate this fame. And we're going to explain all of that in more detail. The stuff with the 11-year-old girl, though, indicates something quite narcissistic could be happening here, all right? So let's go through her background. Who is this chick, all right? I'm going to give you the Wikipedia-type version, all right? Her real name is Kaylee Rose Amstutz. And is that German? Amstutz? And she was born in a place called Willard, Missouri. Her parents run a veterinarian clinic, and she was raised a conservative Christian. Ironically, her uncle is Darren Chappelle, because she took on her grandfather's last name, which is Chappelle. That's why it's Chappelle Roan. Anyway, her uncle is Darren Chappelle, a Republican in the House of Representatives in Missouri. I mean, most likely not an ally of the LGBTQ stuff. But does that mean she's part of the agenda? I don't think so. I mean, like, there's plenty of people that are raised in families that they disagree with. Okay. We'll come back to all this stuff. Because my beef with her, she posts this image of herself as this LGBTQ ally person trapped in this Southern conservative Christian impoverished hell. Just like, you know, Kid Rock. Oh, I'm born in the trailer park. And all this stuff doesn't add up, it turns out. All right. Fake news. So let's get into her music career, because that's why we're talking about her, right? She was raised doing music stuff, uploading it to YouTube, and this supports that nonsense fantasy that we heard from about Justin Bieber. Like, oh, he got famous because he was just on YouTube, and, you know, next thing you know, Scooter Braun watches the video and says, my goodness, I got to fly up there to Canada and sign this kid. None of it's real. None of it's real. I don't believe any of it. Wikipedia claims that in 2014, she uploads her original song called Die Young to YouTube under her real name, which you can still watch to this day. Now, recall, in 2012, we were back in the golden age of blogging on my blog, IlluminatiWatcher.com. Still alive, it's just I don't blog there anymore because I can't, because, again, I'm a bad boy and I got in trouble. So you can read all about my sad sob stories of getting in trouble nonstop since I started this. If you go to IlluminatiWatcher.com, go to start here. You can read my sob story of all the places I've been torched and canceled from and all kinds of crazy stuff. You wouldn't believe it. It's crazy. But back in 2012, we talked about a Kesha song called Die Young. And that Kesha song, you already know it, right? Very popular song, was crushing on the charts. But then something happened in December. The Andy say, okay. That's my pig Latin. You know what I'm saying. A certain event happened and they pulled the song from the radio. Furthermore, Kesha comes out on the tweeter and she distances herself from this track and says she was forced to sing this song. What does that even mean? This was years before Kesha came out to reveal all of her abuses from inside the industry. Weird stuff. So it's strange that Chappelle Roan, a new pop princess, had a debut track called Die Young. Furthermore, she says that she wrote this song while attending summer camp at the Interlochen Center for the Arts. And she says it, quote, changed my trajectory forever. Now, after this track, she would go to New York City, sign with Atlantic Records in 2015. She proceeds to take on the stage name persona of Chappelle Roan, named after her grandfather, Dennis Chappelle, who had recently died. Her stage name would later be described as an alter ego, her quote-unquote drag persona that was, quote, more open and confident, especially regarding sex, than her real self. Her debut album, kind of a mystery, kind of a mess we got going on here with old Chappelle and her first albums. Her first album was released through that Atlantic Records in 2017, but they call it an EP, which if you know what the difference between an EP and a studio album is, drop it in the comments. I don't know. I should have looked it up before I started this. I'm like, what's the difference? An extended play versus a studio album? I don't really get it. Anyway, it's considered an EP called School Nights. All right. Goes nowhere, apparently. Atlantic drops her in 2020. She then signs with Amusement Records, which is an imprint from the Island Records label, and proceeds to release her first studio album a few years later in 2023 called The Rise and Fall of a Midwest Princess. So we're talking like almost 10 years of her being in this music industry and not really doing anything. It's kind of strange. Now, she, of course, would blow up from this album. And it's only when she got signed with the Island Records imprint that this would all go down. And this makes sense because Island Records is under UMG, Universal Music Group, which has virtually every musician on the planet that's anything. UMG run by CEO Sir Lucian Grange. Now, Lucian Grange, we've talked about him on this show. Specifically, his name is called out in the lawsuit against Diddy from Lil Rod, the producer. Right? And we're going to get into Epstein because Lil Rod accused Diddy of running an Epstein operation. Literally, it's in the, if you read through the lawsuit, so we're talking about blackmails, videotapes, and he claims that Lucian Grange was either connected or at the bare minimum aware that Diddy was doing this. Allegedly. All allegedly from Lil Rod, okay? Not from me. Not from your boy, from Lil Rod. So the hit song Pink Pony Club, which is on her debut album for 2023, was actually released in 2020 through the previous label, Atlantic, for an album that was apparently supposed to be recorded, but then they let her go. I don't know. Strange. The reason it blew up was because she had won, this is what the Wikipedia claims, and I'm not a big enough fan to know I could have this off a little bit. It wasn't that big of a deal to me, but it says that she won a Grammy for Best New Artist in 2025, performs this song at the Grammys, and that's what made it blow up. But to stick to the timeline, she signs with Atlantic in 2015, drops a flopper in 17, moves to LA in 18, which is where she got inspired for the Pink Pony Club because she was going to a gay bar called the Abbey in Hollywood. During this period in LA, she wasn't making a lot of money from music because she gets dropped in 2020. Wikipedia claims she was working odd jobs like a production assistant, donut shop. She's going back and forth between Missouri and LA, working at drive-thrus and all this stuff, right? Somehow she links up with Sony and the songwriter Dan Negro in 2022, releases an independent single in August. Then by February 23, she's on a headlining concert tour across North America. What? That's what it says on Wikipedia. All this before Pink Pony Club. She wins Grammys, Artist of the Year, headlining concert tours before that song even was popular. In March 23, she signs with Amusement Records. September 2023, they release her first studio album. Starts her second headlining tour now, an international tour. And then 24 was when she was, all over the place. The late night shows, NPR, Tiny Desk, opening for Olivia Rodrigo, VMAs, Best New Artist, Grammy Best New Artist, number one on Billboard, SNL, crushing it in 24. Absolutely crushing it, right? So that's strange, right? Almost like things were coordinated, which obviously, right? Not to be too cynical. I don't want to be like Hot Topic conspiracy theorist here, cynical about everything. But like we already know, the music industry is all smoke and mirrors. That doesn't mean you don't get to enjoy the music. Look, I enjoy the music too. It's fine. I just know that everything's being sort of given to us. And then there's a lot of purists out there that are like, well, you should, go listen to this independent artist over here. It's like, I could, but like, I want to be part of the conversation of things, right? It's a social construct and I'm okay with it. It's the same reason I watch NFL. It's the same exact area. That's connecting the dots as we go. It's the same reason I watch football. It's a social thing. When I get with the boys, they're talking about football. I got to talk about football. You get with other people. Hey, did you hear the new Chappelle Roan song? Yeah, well, whatever. Is it stupid? Yes. I don't know what to tell you. I want to be a part of the social circles, I guess. So fast forward to February 2026, and that's where things get real interesting. That's where we get into Epstein. But first, we got to go through the music videos. I don't want to get ahead of myself. So I went through her whole music video catalog. And again, I knew nothing of Chappelle Roan before I started this analysis yesterday, literally. I go back in her catalog. Her first music video was called Good Hurt from 2017. And in it, she's put into a baptism robe in this like rundown house, and they put her in the bathtub. She is immediately ritualized into the music industry right off the rip. It's this... And furthermore, it's like this abandoned pool inside of the house. which I've seen in, I want to say, one of Epstein's homes, whatever. And the video ends with her feeding raw meat to an alligator that's in the tub with her. So right off the bat, you're seeing this like baptism into the new way, the music industry, Luciferianism type stuff. In the bathtub, that's the goddess symbolism, right? The goddess symbolism we've talked about so many times over the past. You know, Whitney Houston, Bobby Christina, Jim Morrison, like all these people, that passage of, it's called the mikvah. It's the cleansing ritual in Kabbalah. If you don't know what I'm talking about, subscribe to my show. You got a lot of catching up to do. I've been talking about this for years. I won't bore the old schoolers with the details. Then we got a Chappelle Road mini doc in 2018. That's right. She's filming documentaries already. Immediately the documentary starts with her filling a bathtub. What is with the bathtubs? And she's selling us the story that she's going to continue to sell us for years about how, oh, I'm from the small town, humble roots, blah, 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 blah. And, oh, when I get to LA, I don't feel grounded. And, you know, I got signed at 17. Whoa, I didn't expect this. It's very nerve-wracking to release my personal music to the world. You know, that whole energy. Now, something weird happens in this video. It flashes this VHS recording of presumably her with a date stamp of February 27th, 2001. It says, happy birthday. All right. Now, what's interesting is that her birthday is not February 27th. It's February 19th. She was born in 98. Is there something to that? I don't know. I just found it odd. Then we go to her video for Die Young. She's in a lake. She starts going under the water and she gets sort of, you know, it reminded me of Under the Silver Lake, to be honest. And the lyrics are, I want to die young. And I'm like, are you sure you want to? You know what the music industry does to these people? The 27 Club? Which is that? Oh, that's this year. Uh-oh. Not good. Not good. Yeah, it is. She's got to be 27. Maybe she's 28. Anyway, then we get the April 2020 video, Pink Pony Club. And a confession, I actually love this song. The heart wants what it wants. I don't know what to tell you. The video is just her on a stage performing at this biker bar. But, you know, it's supposed to be a gay club, which is what it converts into by the end of the video. But, you know, fun side story. One time we went to this, we got invited to go to this gay bar in Salt Lake here. And under an overpass, by the way. And we show up, but we brought one of our very hetero friends with us. And we're hanging out, and our friend goes to the bathroom, and he comes storming out, and he says, we have to leave now. And we were like, oh, snap, what happened? I guess the guy was flirting with him, and, you know, he didn't like that much, I guess. That kind of stuff doesn't bother me. Like, I'm not gay. But, like, I don't know. I'm flattered. Like, oh, okay. All right. I'm attractive to somebody. Okay. But he didn't like that. He was not. I'll never forget it. It wasn't like a full-on leather BDSM, but it was close. It was borderline. Some of them guys were dressed like that. It was pretty funny. Anyway, not a ton in this video, shockingly, right? There is. She's dancing under what do you call it? With, like, the... Oh, I can't think of the name of it. It's got like the horns. And it's like the skull, you know, the classic, like you see them on the roofs of Cadillacs in Texas and stuff like that, or on the grill, I should say. She's dancing under one of those. Again, look at the image. If you're on my YouTube, I flash these images I'm talking about. You know, it's all, and it's this kind of trope of like, oh, I wish I was back home, stuck out in the big lights of liberal hellhole LA. You know, like, okay, it's only the most expensive real estate on the planet because it's so terrible. Then there's a song called Naked in Manhattan. Again, with like the big city juxtaposition with the country stuff. This track was 2022. I FW with this song, okay? I should say I FW this song. I'm trying to keep the language clean. Nothing Illuminate confirm here, right? Just, you know, small town girl, big city vibes. But I actually like that song too. I'm like, damn, that's another track I like. Then she has a 2022 track called My Kink is Karma. You see some boots with all seeing eyes on them. You know, standard fare of the Illuminati. Then you've got butterfly clips in her hair and a necklace even. This is all could be Project Monarch stuff. We unpacked this kind of stuff in my MK Ultra series this year. No, last year. Why did I do that? Recently, the MK Ultra series, or more appropriately, I believe that this is symbolism of the metamorphosis. Because again, it's this whole, oh, I was just this innocent little conservative Christian girl, and now I'm doing gay stuff out in LA. Like this, like thing she's putting on, right? She's putting makeup and horns on, right? To add to this sort of imagery. And the video shows us this poor white trash vibe. The song kind of sounds like Taylor Swift with Lana Del Rey. Kind of like this track too, to be honest. The song's also very sexual. She's literally doing splits in her underwear. So there's that. Then another track from 2023 called Casual. She starts out on a beach. And there's a news program playing, and someone apparently found a severed ear. And we all know what this is. This is David Lynch. That's right, from Blue Velvet. I'm like, oh, no, maybe I'm a Chappelle Roan fan. She's apparently into Twin Peaks. David Lynch, maybe. I don't know. That's clearly a nod to Blue Velvet, because that's part of the movie, okay? A sea creature comes out of the water. It's a girl, meets Chappelle. Chappelle takes her home and puts her in the bathtub. Like, oh, here we go with the bathtub again. What is going on? And of course, it's like, you know, lesbian stuff. They start making out, blah, blah, blah. Then in 2023, a track called Red Wine Supernova, Magician's Cut. Starts out with her reading a book about romance with a magician. And there's a sign in the yard that says God hates magic. The lyrics are, she's talking about Brigitte Bardot, who would ironically later die, and Chappelle Roan would publicly lament the loss. This is just last year. And the fan base, they like outwoke her, and they're like, hey, Brigitte Bardot is a total a-hole to gays and all kinds of people. And Chappelle Roan's like, oh, I didn't know that. She apologizes. Anyway, the video's got, you know, more lesbian activity. Not that there's a problem with that. She's got this redhead in the video dressed like a magician. We're talking about stage magic. I know a lot of you are probably thinking, oh, magic, here we go, the occult. And there is an occult element to it. In fact, it's part of the MK Ultra mind control process, is these stage magicians, all right? So there's an inverted pentagram that flashes and, you know, not a ton. I kind of like this song too, What Is Happening With Me. And the lyrics are about, you know, oh, I've got this twin mattress in my roommates. Not likely, from Chappelle. We're going to find out why here in a second. Again, selling this like I'm just a poor old country girl nonsense. They do a magic spell on a woman who has this sign in her yard that says God hates magic. And they turn her into a rabbit. And this is obviously a reference to the other kind of sign that God hates, F, A, you know what the other letters are. The three-letter word disparaging gay people. And the video ends with these two ladies kissing. Then we've got the Amazon Breakthrough Artist 2023 video. She says how she only started singing at the age of 14 and how, you know, it was so embarrassing. And there, even though there's footage of her performing at her grandfather's country club, which we're going to get into soon. You get this shadow, all-seeing eye effect of her in the video. She's like, oh, my family was just doing the best they could. You know, I was just raised going to church and felt like I didn't belong there. And, you know, she's kind of doing that. And this, she says something interesting. She says the album is a whole process of birthing a new me and then ultimately abandoning it. Is she saying that she's embracing this gay side and then she will abandon it in the future? I don't know. That would be kind of crazy, but it could be. People do that, right? Lil Uzi Vert was like, oh, I'm a they, them. And then he's like, no, I'm not. And, oh, I'm gay. No, I'm not. You know, these guys do weird stuff. Then we have a trailer for The Rise and Fall of the Midwest Princess. And she says, the album is about my birth of my queerness. Again, juxtaposition of the small town stuff. Now she's, you know, not. The first video from this album drops in August 23 called Hot to Go. And they go back to her hometown, Springfield, Missouri. Again, this juxtaposition of, oh, I'm just from this small town. There's cows and monster trucks. But now I'm in LA doing all this other stuff. Then you've got Homecoming, episode one, and she's back home in the woods talking about how peaceful her home is, and that's not what the new Chappelle Roan universe is. The Chappelle Roan universe is drag queens and gay bars in L.A. She's going through her photos, and she pulls a photo out of her the day she was baptized. Think about this. Her first video, the first scene in, ever, is her being baptized, not at a church, but in this crummy home. This rundown home, which was reminiscent of the Sia videos, right? In the Sia videos, it shows, what's her name, Maddie Ziegler, going through these sort of abusive-looking homes with a bunch of, like, what appear to be trafficked kids. And that's where Chappelle Roan goes. She gets baptized into this rundown home. And then she shows you, like, look, I was baptized into the Christian faith. But and the implication being, now I'm baptized into the music industry, Luciferianism. Then she, to further emphasize my point, she pulls out a photo of her holding a guitar. Seconds later, she retrieves said guitar and points out, like, hey, it's got a rainbow strap with crosses, with Christian crosses. And she points out the irony of that. She's like, ha, that's funny because I'm gay and I was baptized and raised in this church. And here's a rainbow strap with crosses on it from the guitar I was playing when I was a girl. Oh, whatever. And then she goes through the effort to make sure that the viewer knows, hey, this photo of me holding this guitar when I was a little girl, I'm actually holding it upside down because the neck was on the left where the guitar neck should have been on the right. And of course, my psychotic paranoid take, which is what you're here for, is that she's alluding to the cross being inverted. I held the guitar upside down. The guitar has these crosses. Why did she point that out? It's because she's saying she sold her soul to the devil. Oh my God. Luciferianism 101. She talks about how, like, look, when I'm in Missouri, I can't be my true self. Again, like beating it over the head. Like, we get it. Oh my God. Then episode two, she's putting on these outfits. She talks about how, oh, my outfits are very tacky. This is the kind of stuff you'd find at Goodwill and Claire's Boutique. And I was like, oof, that seems like a dig against poor people. Like, why would you say that out loud? Especially when we find out that she came from wealth, mind you. Her grandparents, Barb and Denny, are in this video. And I don't know if that's the rich grandfather or not. We're going to find out more about that here in a second. And that's basically it for the music videos. Not a ton out there. But now we're going to move into Epstein territory. And this is where things really ratchet up and things get really crazy, okay? So if you go to the wrap-up, they wrote up a piece on February 9th of 26 about how Chappelle Roan quit Wasserman after the CEO of Wasserman Talent Agency, Casey Wasserman, appeared in the latest Epstein file drop. All right. I'm going to read you from the article. It says here, no artist, agent, or employee should be expected to defend or overlook actions that conflict so deeply with our own moral values. That's what Chappelle Roan wrote on her Instagram. And they said that Chappelle Roan was expecting to cut ties with the agency over his appearance, you know, Casey Wasserman's appearance in the Epstein files. And it stems from these messages that Casey was sending to Epstein and Ghislaine. She wrote, Chappelle Roan wrote, as of today, I am no longer represented by Wasserman, the talent agency led by Casey Wasserman. So, of course, that begs the question of, like, who is this guy? What are we talking about here, right? Well, Casey Wasserman is a Nepo baby. You know, I like to pick on the Nepo babies. He's the son of Louis Wasserman, a famous movie mogul described as, quote, arguably the most powerful and influential Hollywood titan in the four decades after World War II. He was the president of MCA and was part of the whole takeover of Universal Pictures and so on, right? Also very politically connected. He was friends with Ronald Reagan, yet also a big Democrat, awarded the Medal of Freedom by Bill Clinton, which, as you know, it's like they're all in bed together doing the same nasty stuff behind closed doors. Now, fun fact, his goddaughter is Jamie Lee Curtis. I had no idea she was of that ethnicity. Now, let's go back to Casey Wasserman. the Epstein files drop, and you know, all hell breaks out. Breaks out for him, and now he's in a whole bunch of trouble, and Chappelle Roan publicized this big nasty split from the talent agency and so on. I'm going to read to you again. It says, in February 26, Wasserman received criticism after files released from the Epstein Files Transparency Act revealed he had exchanged intimate emails in 2003 with the now convicted sex trafficker Ghislaine Maxwell several years before Epstein was investigated. Wasserman said he deeply regrets the communication. In response, several artists, including Chappelle Roan, Dropkick Murphys, BB No Money, Bully, I don't know who any of these people are, a bunch of nobodies. I say nobodies, bunch of people I've never heard of, but I'm an old loser, so what do I know? A bunch of people publicly disclosed their departure from Wasserman's music agency. Soccer player Abby Wambach also announced she would be exiting the firm, and several others demanded that Wasserman step down from the agency. In response, on February 13th, Wasserman announced that he had started the process of selling the Wasserman agency and would also step back from his representation business interests. And then later details how even more people talking about how this guy needs to resign, LA Mayor Karen Bass and all these Los Angeles political types. So I'm thinking, like, what is on these emails? You know what I mean? So you look online, Daily Bruin writes, says Wasserman said in a 2003 email to Maxwell that he thought of her all the time and asked, what do I have to do to see you in a tight leather outfit? Wasserman's message came in response to an email in which Maxwell told Wasserman she would be returning to New York and wearing a tight leather flying suit. Okay. Wasserman said in an emailed statement that he regrets his communications with Maxwell, adding that they were long before her horrific crimes came to light. Quote, I never had a personal or business relationship with Jeffrey Epstein, he said in a statement. I'm terribly sorry for having any association with either of them. Wasserman added in the statement that it is well documented that he was on Epstein's plane for a trip with the Clinton Foundation, for which he is a trustee. So that's what, like, the mainstream media tells you. And I'm like, I don't know, dude. That don't add up. All this outrage, right? Why? Because he was flirting with Ghislaine before people knew she was messing with this stuff? So I don't think it's just flirty leather skirts. So I go to the Department of Justice website. I search Casey Wasserman. You get 93 results. 93, the number of Aleister Crowley's Thelema, by the way. Off topic. Anyway, I found one EFTA0057884 where Ghislaine is emailing Casey and she says, listen, this is where I think is weird. She says, okay, so that combo did not do it for you. What combo would then? And Casey writes back, you, me, and not else much. She then writes, okay, you will not have to share me with either a cheddar cheese, a baked bean, or a Kit Kat. Excuse me? Here we go. It's not just beef jerky and grape soda and hot tubs with 100,000 hot dogs in it. Now we have to add more mysterious foods that these psychopaths are into. A baked bean, not beans, not plural, bean, a baked bean, Kit Kats. All right. There's also an email, EFTA0057-8813. Casey Wasserman emails Ghislaine and says, I'll be in New York City for 4 days starting April 22nd. Can we book that massage now? And there's more in there. I don't want to get too sidetracked. There's one talking about how he's interested in the cigar concept, which made me think of Bill Clinton. That's file number 0057-8828 if you want to get into that. But the... And then it also makes me think of the whole Monica Lewinsky theory, right? There's a theory that Monica is part of Mossad. Is this some technique, this cigar concept? Maybe this is a whole thing, right? Also, side fact, since we're in the Epstein files, if you look up the hotel that had this incident with the 11-year-old girl that started this whole episode with Chappelle Roan, we find out that the location is, in fact, in Sao Paulo in Brazil. Ironically, the city brought up by Barclays CEO Jess Staley In that email he gives to Epstein, talking about how Jay-Z keeps everybody distracted with a bunch of, you know, cars and women type stuff. I talked about it many times. Now, let's transition over to someone else's research. We've got a TikToker out there catching bodies. TikToker Jobless 13 is going in on Chappelle Rome with some hot takes, some damning claims, video clips. She's connecting these dots on all of this stuff, making Chappelle Roan look completely fabricated. She doesn't really get into the Epstein stuff. But like I said, like I'm at it, I'll add that in there. So bear with me for a moment. I think you need to listen to these clips or check out her TikTok page, Jobless13. I'm going to play this first clip for you. Take a listen.
Did you guys know that Little Miss I Don't Want to Be Famous went to Grammys camp in 2014? It's $3,000 a week, and it's literally what she keeps referring to as summer camp, where she met all of her industry friends.
You met him at summer camp?
Yes.
Like summer camp?
Like art camp. Yeah.
When did you go to the summer camp? Was it?
Like 2015.
In New York City, I went to Grammy camp, worked with some really amazing, talented kids.
A few moments later.
The Grammys. The fucking talent show for rich people. I hope they hear this.
Yeah, fuck the Grammys, submits work 8 times.
Thank you to my fellow nominees, and above all, my Papa Chapel, who I named myself after.
Her Papa Chapel, who owned an insurance company and was a multimillionaire and owned an absolutely massive golf course. When I say massive, I mean genuinely massive. His obituary states that he lived on and owned the golf course. And looking at the Country Club Golf Course's website on the Wayback Machine, I found an interesting page about real estate. So he owned not only this massive Country Club Golf Course thing, but also all these houses, these $500,000 houses, 20 fucking of them, that he sold to people, I guess, to live on this giant, rich Missouri compound. There's a video of Chapel first signing her record deal, and the same grandfather is in the background, and I just find it hilarious that she loves going on about how she named herself after him, and she's this, like, feminist, lesbian icon, but her entire thing is based around her extremely rich grandfather.
The meaning of my name is really important. It's my grandpa Chapel. He died September 22nd of 2016, and it feels good to know that, like, we got so successful. I feel like he's just, like, clapping from heaven right now.
You might have heard of him, the Strawberry Roan.
Roan was a reference to his favorite song. It's called the Strawberry Roan, which is about, like, a pinkish red horse.
This man had hundreds of millions of dollars. He owned planes. There was an airport right by the golf course and their house. Like, this was only 30 minutes away from where Chapel grew up. And one of her papaw sons, her uncle, is a conservative representative in Missouri who advocates against trans rights. And his daughter, who is Chapel Roan's mother, she's a veterinarian. They were able to buy a fully equipped hospital in 2002, like a mobile vet hospital. And then they bought a $760,000 brick and mortar vet hospital in 2014 when Chapel was going to Grammy camp.
Because I got signed so young, I got signed as a minor, and when I got dropped, I had zero job experience under my belt, and like most people, I had a difficult time finding a job in the pandemic and could not afford health insurance.
I had management before I was signed through acting.
Oh, you were acting.
I was an actress before all of this. Actress, whatever.
So in film acting, I've been in film acting class for about 2 years. I love film acting almost as much as singing.
We hear Chappelle has this, you know, this disdain for fame and the she hates the Grammys, which is so pricelessly ironic since she was going to Grammy camp and paying money to try to become this celebrity that she became. And won the Grammy for Best New Artist and so on, right? She's so tortured, right? And she was paying thousands of dollars to fast track all of this stuff through the Grammys camp, which was $3,000 a week. And she's calling it summer camp. And if you go to her Wikipedia, it's just like, oh, she went to all these summer camps, you know. Okay, got it. And then she reveals that her grandfather, Dennis Chappelle, was a multimillionaire, owned insurance companies, owned a country club with golf courses and properties on it in Missouri. And she points out the hypocrisy of Chappelle being a feminist queer icon who's basically got to where she is through a man, through her rich grandfather, presumably very conservative and hetero. Her parents own a veterinary clinic, multiple vet clinics, and you know, it's all so crazy. And Chappelle is out here saying, like, oh, I couldn't afford health insurance and I know what it's like. I'm poor, blah, blah, blah. You know, cosplaying is being poor, basically. Now I'm going to play a second clip from the same TikToker where she plays clips of Chappelle being interviewed. And Chappelle's like, oh, yeah, I'm poor and I grew up in a trailer park and blah, 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 blah. Take a listen. Hey, everybody. It's Isaac. Quick update. The Jobless 13 TikTok channel got removed from TikTok, ironically. Now, the reason you could hear clip one was because I prophetically downloaded it in case her channel got torched. I already downloaded it, and then I was doing more research, and then I recorded the show. And now that I'm in post-editing, I'm like, okay, let me go get her two more videos from her TikTok channel. I go there, she's gone completely. So I was able to find someone else who mirrored her third video, but the second video I could not find. I'm going to recap what she provides as the sort of insight. And some of it actually overlaps to video three, so not a huge deal. But anyway, my point being is like, this is red hot. I guess the powers that be do not want this out there, which makes all the sense in the world. So video two, I'm sorry, I can't find it. You can look around, look for Jobless 13 video two, or part two, I should say, part two on Chappelle Roan. Maybe it's up there now, I don't know. But anyway, as in post-editing, I couldn't find it, but I'll have the third video for you. And like I said, the first one I had saved to my phone prophetically, so that's why you heard that one. Okay, thanks. So she's playing clips from this like documentary that is on her YouTube about her when she was a teenager. Like, who has people filming them as a teenager, right? It's kind of crazy. And then you've got some 2017 interviews. Chappelle's taking vacations in Italy with her boyfriend. Again, these are not poor people activities at all. All right. These aren't even like middle class activities, to be honest. She's going back and forth to LA on all these flights. Again, this is not stuff that poor, arguably even middle class people can afford to do for their kids. She talks about her musical inspirations and claims, she, again, pushing this narrative. Oh, I was born in this, you know, conservative Christian music and it was very oppressive. And then I got into Pink and my mind opened up and all this stuff, right? And of course, her mom's like her manager and all this kind of crazy stuff. Then we've got a third video and then we're done with the videos. It addresses this fundraiser because you're going to see these claims. There's a lot of people defending Chappelle Roan online, saying like, no, she really was poor. She was having to raise funds for this Grammys camp and she was publicly doing it online. Take a listen.
If Chappelle did a fundraiser for Grammy camp, does that mean that she actually was poor and she was telling the truth this whole time? So Chappelle's real name is Kaylee Rose, and in an article in 2014, it says she was putting on a fundraiser to go to Grammy camp. There's also an old screenshot circulating of a Facebook event organized by her mom, and seemingly this aligns with things that Chappelle has said, like, when you've been poor, you're not really scared of anything.
Like, I've been poor, and like,
yeah.
So I know that I can be happy and poor.
But what I find the most interesting is that just a few months after this fundraiser, her mom invested $760,000 into the construction of their second or third veterinary hospital. It's nearly 7,000 square feet, with them leasing out 1,400 square feet at the time, and they also acquired another building nearby for another business. And it wasn't mom and pop. It had an entire rehabilitation gym and a bunch of therapy rooms, including hyperbaric oxygen rooms. Her mom talked in an article in 2010 about how they paid off $250,000 in debt within 4 years, and they did this by coupon clipping and living intentionally frugally. She said by the end of that year, they would be debt-free and have doubled their income. Intentional frugality is not the same as living in poverty.
Like, I've been poor,
Something many conservatives are obsessed with is this idea of living frugally while you're rich. There's tons of articles on it, but this is a completely different thing from living in actual forced poverty. In a lot of these circles, they will live right outside of a bigger city, but they'll own land and they'll quietly act like they live a humble lifestyle, but in reality, they're pretty well off. So why would Chapel do a fundraiser if she had debt-free parents with pretty successful businesses and a grandfather who, by her own words, had the most successful insurance company in Missouri? Let me introduce you to everyone's favorite little letters, PR.
So in film acting, I've been in film acting class for about 2 years. I love film acting almost as much as singing.
By 2014, Chapel was already in acting classes for several years. She had an agent and she starred in a few commercials.
So I had management before I was signed through acting.
Oh, you were acting.
I was an actress before all this. Actress, whatever. But I had management through my acting class in Springfield. And they had, like, my acting coach hooked me up with some managers in LA who were not music managers. They were only acting managers. And through them, you know, I couldn't move to LA because I was so young and I couldn't just uproot my entire family. And they were like, okay, well, until you can move to Los Angeles to pursue acting, why don't you work on music? And I was like, okay.
There's a letter circulating around that Chapel's fans are saying that she sent out during the fundraiser. The only real source I can find on this is a post from yesterday on a drama forum. Somebody just anonymously shared the entire letter, but there's no actual source leading before that I can find, so I'm not sure how legit it is. But the idea of it is so odd to me, considering this is the same year her parents constructed an almost $1 million brand new vet hospital building.
It was not like me being like, this is my dream, you know.
That's awesome to have a parent that's supportive and that, you know, pushing you like that. That's
really cool. I mean, 100%. I mean, she pushed me to where I am now, you know. So if that weren't for her, I would not be doing this probably.
What I think is more likely than the, oh, we were poor.
I've been poor.
Is after years of trying to get her into acting, her mom and her agent just wanted to get her as much exposure as possible. There's also this, like, fanfiction level Reddit post going around, like, disproving her grandfather's wealth, but they guessed this by, I guess, dividing all the family members in the obituary by the amount the company sold for after he died. Then they just blatantly lie about how much ownership he had of the golf course. Then they look up, like, unrelated land in the area just to say how much it's worth, like, not even the actual property. His obituary says he lived on and was the principal owner of the entire country club. They held the funeral at the country club. This is what some of the houses look like from the pool at the country club. This isn't the humble farm ranch from the Hannah Montana movie. They have 300 members who pay these fees every year to go. They still have pictures up of her performing all the way back in 2013. This is where this picture comes from, their official fake Facebook page.
Like, I've been poor.
So this fundraiser article from 2014 to raise funds for the Grammy camp. The argument is that at the same time, her mother is dropping close to $1 million on second and third veterinarian clinics. And my understanding here is, like, every rich person I've ever met, I mean, which isn't a lot, but just knowing rich people in general, like, they're very cheap in general. I'm not all of them, obviously. But they want everyone else to pay for everything they do. They're always trying to, like, not pay taxes, which I'm not like, yay, taxes. I'm just saying, like, they're always the angle. It's like a sickness. Like, there's no amount of savings that's enough. You know what I mean? Which is part of the reason why they became rich, because they're very much cognizant about cost and stuff. And that's not a demonization, because I'm like a Dave Ramsey kind of guy, to be honest. Like, I'm very much like, yeah, you need to be frugal and take care of your bills, you know. So her mom even said, like, oh yeah, we're frugal, we're cutting coupons. And she says that they paid off $250,000 of debt in 4 years. It's a lot. That's, you know, roughly 60 to 65K a year in debt. Who could do that? You know what I mean? Like, this is not poor or middle class activities. And the TikToker rightfully talks about how frugality is actually much different than living in poverty, right? Because wealthy people, they're cheap. They're not poor, right? And Chappelle started out being an actor. So of course this is all acting. This is her taking on this image that it's a PR stunt and all this stuff. And she even talks about how Pa Dukes owned this country club and how, you know, cause having a country club, it's expensive. It's expensive. I bet just being a member, I can't afford to be a member of a country club. Imagine owning one. Now, how does all this fit into Epstein? Well, let's talk about the, what I'm calling the Epstein flavor camp. Now, if you go to Chappelle Roan's Wikipedia, it doesn't mention anything about the Grammy camp. It just says that she went to Christian camps for several summers. It's where she wrote her first song, Die Young. And at this Interlaken camp, right? Now, if you look into this, Grammy camp is not Interlaken camp. These are two different camps, okay? What's interesting is that Interlaken, I believe, is going to be more Illuminate confirmed than Grammy camp. All right, why is that? Because Epstein was there. That's right. Epstein was at Interlaken. Interlaken was a camp used for kids to, you know, attend programs for music and theater and dance and all that stuff. And there's lots of celebrities that come through Interlaken. Josh Groban, Nora Jones, Chappelle Roan, Jennifer Lynch, our beloved Jennifer Lynch, David Lynch's daughter, Ed Helms from The Office and all those comedies, Terry Crews, Rumor Willis, Jewel, Larry Page, the co-founder of Google, went there. Recall, he founded Google with Sergey Brin. Sergey Brin definitely been on the island. And Larry's also in the Epstein contact list. Now, if you go to laist.com, they have an article about this based on an NPR interview. So it's kind of a combination of sources. But basically, Epstein and Ghislaine, they had paid for and donated a rental lodge at the Interlaken camp, which they then used as their private lodge, and they would go there, and while they were there, they would recruit new victims. And a woman testified about this at the 2021 Ghislaine trial and said, look, I was 13 at this camp. I got groomed. Then I got essayed by them. Then there was another girl who was 14 that has a similar story. And what happened was Epstein and Ghislaine would dangle these prospects of paying for the camps and financial support to all these girls. And they would even go as far as to call the girl's mother and fly them down to Palm Beach and offer to pay for their mentorship and all this stuff. And it was even claimed that one of the mothers called the camp inquiring, like, who's this Epstein guy? Why is he offering my daughter money? And they were like, oh, it's chill. Like, he's just our guardian. He's so trustworthy. No worries, which is crazy in hindsight, right? And now this is curious because Chappelle claims she was poor and needed money for all these camps, tuitions. And just to play crazy conspiracy guy, right? Could this have been made her the potential victim for Epstein, right? The timing, of course, would not have worked. Would not have worked because, you know, unless Epstein was still, in fact, attending this camp, even though they interlock and claim they cut ties with him in 2008 after the sweetheart deal. Which I wouldn't put that past anybody involved here. They're saying, Interlaken's like, look, we found out he was messing with kids in 2008, so we banished him from the camp. He was giving hundreds of thousands of dollars to this camp for many years. I think it's very possible he or a different member of this octopus of people doing this heinous stuff could have still gone there. Could have, maybe. Allegedly, whatever. And Epstein actually went there as a kid when he was 14. He played the bassoon, I guess. And since he was an alumni, he had this in. So he starts dropping massive donations in the 90s, according to testimony from Epstein's pilot and various DOJ documents, right? And if you go to a Forbes article that talks about this stuff, it says, according to documents released in the Epstein files, a $185,000 donation from the Wexner Foundation was used to pay for the Epstein Lodge at Interlaken in 1994, a rental property whose proceeds were used to pay for scholarships for students attending the school. Epstein also donated $15,000 from his personal foundation to the property. Blase blah. Another who met Epstein and Maxwell at Interlaken when she was 14 told NPR the pair used the camp as a doorway to teenage girls without parents around and was later invited to spend time at the financier's house in Palm Beach. Blah, blah, blah. Wexner's name was not previously publicly associated with the cabin, which has since been renamed but is unavailable to rent. Now, this camp is located, obviously, in Interlaken, which is a town in Michigan, and it's right by Lake Michigan. It's on the, you know, western side of the Paw. And Lake Michigan is where Epstein and his friends were chucking babies in the water, if you recall. If you go to EFTA 01249693. Let's see. The document says, I find it important for investigators to know that Jeffrey Epstein and many other powerful, rich, famous people were involved in trafficking me as a slave for them when I was 13 years old. I'm reading the Epstein file right now that talks about throwing babies in Lake Michigan, okay? And this victim came forward, told the FBI all this stuff. Says, look, they've been messing with me since I was 13. A person named Redacted was in the Freemasons, and he somehow made contacts with these pedos and sex traffickers. I was RAPED'd by over 176 different men from June 84 to September 84. They even murked a child I gave birth to while on the boat. They dumped her body into Lake Michigan. All right. Now, this isn't the only instance in the files, because a month later, there's another report listed in the Epstein files. I'm presuming it's the same complainant. It's redacted, so we don't know that. But and also the complainant is from New Mexico, by the way, not to get too sidetracked, because we're going to talk about New Mexico ranches and Lolita and aliens soon on another episode I'm working on. So if you go to file EFTA 00025010, this person is trying to get into contact with the FBI because they were like, hey, I talked to an FBI person and told about this Lake Michigan baby stuff. I need an update. And she gives a little more specifics. She says it actually happened near Mona Lake, which is actually fairly close to Interlaken, and it's 126 miles away, to be precise, but not that far with boats involved, right, in Lake Michigan. This time, she reports Donald Trump being there. Listen to this. She says, he participated regularly in paying money to force me to be with him, and he was present when my uncle murked my newborn child and disposed of the body in Lake Michigan. Now, to add complications to all this, or maybe supporting evidence, recall that Chappelle Roan is not a fan of Donald Trump. Even though it's quite possible her family could very much be Trump supporters. And this is just my speculation, my opinion, based off of biases and stereotypes. I think it's arguable that they're more than likely Trump supporters because they are wealthy Christian Southerners. They own country clubs and businesses. So stereotypically, her family is probably conservative and Trump supporters. I know you're probably looking like, no, she's talking about pink pony, gay clubs, and all this stuff. And true. But as the great Sam Tripoli always says, it's like, if your parents are right wing, the kid's going to be left wing and vice versa and so on. Right. So let's wrap all this up. Let's make sense of all this in conclusion. Right. And these are all just my opinion. Take from her what you will. I think Chappelle Roan is like every other celebrity. You've got rich Nepo babies cosplaying as fetishizing being poor, and oh, they're just one of us, and they're trying to portray an archetype. They're like, oh, I'm just living in the trailer, just like Kid Rock, you know, who had to cancel his Rock the Country Music Fest after everyone bailed because nobody wants to associate with him anymore. Now, don't tell nobody. Not only do I like Chappelle Roan's music, I like Kid Rock's big hits. I know. I argue with Josie about it all the time. She don't like it. You know what? In the 90s and 2000s, like, the dude was putting out bangers. I'm sorry. He just was. Now, is Chappelle Roan an awful human? Probably. Probably. I mean, she's an actor. She's putting on a role. She's probably even made the Faustian bargain for fame on some level, I would argue. I haven't seen any evidence of that specifically. I'm going to say it's probably happened, though. She may have been put into this network through the Grammys camp, through the Interlaken Epstein camp. Who knows? And it's arguable that this whole thing with the 11-year-old girl and all this stuff is a publicity stunt. That's how rigged all of reality is. And this culture creation mixed in with Roman bread and circus distractions. Because look at me. It got me to listen to her music, which I never listened to her music. And there's a few tracks in there. I'm like, I kind of like her music. Shocking to me. I know. But most importantly, I wonder if she knows more about Epstein or Trump, or this is just an unfortunate 6 degrees of separation. And I also wonder how much of this persona of her being gay is accurate, or is this just a put on to sell records? It's a good story, right? Clearly, it's a story they're packaging and selling. How much of it is real and authentic? Because to me, there's no limit the entertainment industry would ever go to, right? It's just all smoke and mirrors illusions. So I can't speak on her sexuality, but I wonder if it's a manipulation, right? And yeah, fascinating deep dive here. And before I let you go, I want to tell you what I'm working on right now. So you stay subscribed to the show, whatever app or YouTube, you know, and be sure to subscribe to my YouTube, Ad Occult Symbolism. I try not to flood it with too many ads. I know ads are annoying. YouTube wants me to put like an ad every 5 minutes. I'm like, I put ad at the beginning, ad in the middle with my ad, and then add at the end. So anyway, or better yet, support the show. Patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher tier 2. You get the video version ad free and you support the show. What a great deal. For a cup of coffee.
Oh, a cup of coffee in the big time, yeah.
Cup of coffee in the big time.
Now, what I'm working on a 2-part Armageddon series explaining what's going on with Iran. Who's behind it? The rituals behind it. I know we talked about this a little bit in 2023 with the rebuilding of Solomon's Temple series. I'm going to take that and add a little more geopolitics angle to it. It's going to be very hot takes, very controversial. In fact, it's probably going to be, I don't know, it might be the bonus show because I don't think I can put this on YouTube, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. So I'm working on the 2-part Armageddon series. I'm working on a Lolita, New Mexico Ranch alien deep dive show. Because you know that there's all these missing physicists and UFO people now. I mean, something's going on in New Mexico. There just is. And we're going to look at the novel. We're going to look at Kubrick's film and all this stuff. So be sure to stay subscribed to whatever avenue you like to consume the content, audio podcast or the YouTube or the best ones, the Patreon. Shout out to my Patreon people. I love you guys. You've kept me supported for so long and you keep the show alive. So thank you so much. I've seen a lot of you just signing up recently. Thank you. Because I did that hymn film analysis for the bonus show of March. And then also another quick plug. I'm doing a quarterly podcast called The Quarter Quell with Joel Thomas. Lots of great feedback on the first episode. We did an occult deep dive into Trump. It was about 2 hours. Catch that on my YouTube. Catch that on Joel's show, Free the Rabbits. It was very well received. I'm reading all the kind comments. I appreciate you guys. Thank you for embracing Joel. I know sometimes when I get guests on my show, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of like, hey, I don't know about this, because, you know, like I'm your buddy, and you're like, I don't want any other buddies in our group. And you guys have opened that. This is probably the least controversy I've had with a sort of guest collaboration show. So thank you for that, because Joel's the man. He really is. He's a good dude. I'm knowing him more personally as these last year or two has gone by, and he's one of those people that I really respect, and he knows his stuff first and foremost, but he's also a very good human being. So I couldn't be happier to work with someone. And yeah, be sure to check out all my videos on YouTube, Ad Occult Symbolism, subscribe, all the stuff. Till next time, stay positive.